This was the woman who wrote provocative plays inverting the plots of Shakespeare to her own ends, who brought up her family with unconventional originality and behaved likewise, being necessarily wilful in order to resist the social pressures of the period. People were censorious. Men were jealous of brains in a woman. Women suspected intellect in their own sex. Here was a woman after Virginia Woolf's own heart. With her own growing maturity and success as a writer was coming a confidence in herself and her place in the world. She was a woman, and she wished to develop her sensibility as such. In a male-dominated society, this would require increasing bravery and self-knowledge. Virginia was describing, in the widest possible sense, what it meant to establish oneself as a woman in a male literary tradition that refused to admit that there was an alternative female literary tradition. Through neglect, suppression, scorn, or dismissal, this tradition had not been allowed to develop. And when this was the case, people like the crazy Duchess of Newcastle would remain isolated figures, consigned to eccentricity, in the usual and the original meaning of the word, outside the centre. Such female lives would thus not be built upon, the seriousness of their life and work consigned to oblivion, so that each coming generation of women would be required to go through the same battles. Virginia Woolf's feminism was not yet so explicit as it later became, but there is no mistaking the presence of her embryonic ideas. She refused any blinkered militancy, yet her humanity, compassion, and insight speak the louder for it. Take her conclusions on the Duchess of Newcastle. Though her philosophies are futile, and her plays intolerable, and her verses mainly dull, the vast bulk of the Duchess is leavened.